Hi, and welcome to In the News on Chris. I'm Steve Sacco. Today I'll be reading from Time Magazine, the April 8th, 2024 edition of Time Magazine. And this week we're going to start with Desert Power. The United Arab Emirates, using oil wealth and its citizens' data, is betting on AI to project influence beyond its borders. And this is by Billy Perigio. In an AI research lab on the edges of Abu Dhabi last year, an international team of 25 computer scientists were putting the finishing touches on a deep learning algorithm before sending it to be trained on 4,000 powerful computer chips. The AI system, which cost several million dollars to train, was funded by an arm of the Abu Dhabi government called the Advanced Technology Research Council, the ATRC. Despite the government's substantial investment, the ATRC Secretary General, Fazil Al-Banai, decided to release the finished model online for free. If it was as good as the team believed, the boost to the United Arab Emirates' reputation would be all the return the government needed on its investment, he reasoned. The plan worked. When the AI, named Falcon, after the UAE's national bird, was publicly released last September, it became a sensation. By some measures, it was the best open-source large language model, LLM, available in the world at that point, outperforming top offerings from Meta and Google. Before Falcon's release, we were not even on the map, says Al-Banai. But with 25 people, we did that, and it really created a surprise. Around the world, computer scientists took notice. The UAE was not well known before for training models, says Philip Schmidt, an AI researcher at the machine learning platform Hugging Face, which is based in Germany. But then, by more or less the next day, we knew that they can train models. They open source their models. They publish research around it, which benefits all. Falcon seemed to be the first sign of the UAE's rapid rise in the world of AI. In this realm, the U.S. and China are the world's undisputed heavyweights. But sandwiched between the two superpowers, the United Arab Emirates is beginning to punch above its weight. The tiny Gulf nation of some 10 million, which appointed the world's first AI minister in 2017, is betting big on the technology as an engine for diversifying its economy away from oil and for projecting geopolitical influence beyond its borders. In recent months, some of Silicon Valley's most powerful CEOs have visited the UAE, from Microsoft's Satya Nadella to NVIDIA's Jensen Huang. But while solidifying the Emirates government belief that it has what it takes to become an AI power, Falcon also made a larger point. If this new powerful technology is indeed to usher in a new world, it'll be shaped by those with the greatest wealth and power in the one that currently exists. Emirati officials point to their advantages. Huge cash reserves to pay for the top-tier compute or computing hardware, enough electricity powered by oil, natural gas, and solar, not only to power that hardware, but also to make building new data centers more attractive than in Europe and other parts of Asia where the grids are battling energy bottlenecks. And though most of the 88% of the foreigners who populate the UAE toil at low-wage jobs, officials express confidence that year-round sun and the absence of income tax can attract the world's top AI researchers, who are in high demand. If they come, it would be to join an effort unhindered by internal critics or other essentials of democracy. The Emirati state has spent the past two decades digitizing the government services, and authorities here have a more permissive attitude than those in many Western countries to using citizens' anonymity for training AI. In fact, the UAE casts its autocratic state capitalist government as a plus, giving it the ability to quickly marshal its significant resources to achieve what it sees as an epical project. What we have in the UAE that's going to give us an advantage is the decision-making power to make it happen, says Al-Banai, the official in charge of the ATRC. Yes, you need some checks and balances, but in many places it is overdone. Abu Dhabi's ruling family controls several of the world's largest sovereign wealth funds, worth a combined total of some $1.5 trillion. Those funds have historically been used as a vehicle to diversify the UAE's oil wealth into growth industries, making them a perfect match for leaders of AI companies seeking the capital necessary to participate in the AI race. The country is also emerging as a player to watch in the world of the difficult-to-produce computer chips that are used to train the powerful AI systems. In February, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman met with investors seeking up to $7 trillion to build an AI chip maker that could compete with market leader NVIDIA. Prospective investors included Sheikh Tatnun bin Zayed Al Nahyan, who controls Abu Dhabi's main sovereign wealth fund and is the brother of the UAE president. If successful, the efforts could catapult the UAE to a position of outsized influence in the world of AI. The country will have competition. Saudi Arabia, its larger neighbor, is earmarking $40 billion for a push into AI, a sum that would make it one of the largest investors in the space. And that's according to a New York Times report on March 19th, which cited unnamed sources. The UAE has already found itself caught in a geopolitical crosswind, especially as the tensions rise between the U.S. and China over advanced semiconductors, the chips Washington is trying to keep from Beijing. It's the transfer of technology, information, and intelligence to China that the United States is really concerned about, says Neil Quilliman, an expert on Gulf geopolitics based at the London international affairs think tank, Chatham House. The U.S. has basically been saying to the UAE, don't go down that path. That's going to cross the line with us. At a research and development lab in Dubai, on a rare rainy evening in February, the UAE's AI minister, Omar Al-Olama, sits down to discuss the nation's AI ambitions. On the other side of the glass wall separating the meeting room from the lab floor, an autonomous delivery robot designed by government-funded researchers lies dormant, the same bright white as the minister's throb. The 34-year-old Al-Olama reels off a list of ways that AI could improve the quality of life in the Gulf nation, reducing road traffic, improving hospital capacity, cutting down on state bureaucracy, even creating an AI-enabled tour guide for tourists. Increasing quality of life, Al-Olama insists, is the main driver of the UAE's ambitions here. Economic growth is an incentive, too. We do believe that through artificial intelligence, we'll be able to expand our economic footprint and really become one of the big players in certain domains, he says. Al-Olama was just 27 when he was appointed to his role in 2017, and given the task of turning the UAE into a leading nation in AI by the year 2031. Omar has unique credibility as the first AI minister on the global stage, says Amandeep Singh Gill, the UN Secretary General's envoy on technology, who has worked closely with Al-Olama on a UN effort to build global consensus on AI. He's very personable. Without airs, he moves in and makes friends with people. His youth is an essential part of that charisma. Al-Olama has friendly relationships with diplomats and businessmen alike. Pacing the stage at the World Government Summit, the WGS, in Dubai in February, he joked with Altman, who appeared on the screen behind him via a video call. I'm looking to raise $7 trillion if you're interested in joining, Al-Olama said, referring in jest to headlines that had broken the previous week. If you figure out how to do that, please let me know. Altman replied with a smile. I'd be very curious. The WGS, where Olama is vice chair, is a media and event partner of Time magazine. Offstage, Al-Olama is coy about the reports that Altman had attempted to raise funds equal to almost a third of the U.S. GDP from investors, including the UAE. I'm not sure, to be honest, how real that is, the $7 trillion project. I think someone might have misquoted either Sam or the UAE government on that. $7 trillion is an audacious number, to say the least. Still, Al-Ulama says the UAE has the ambition to proceed in the direction of playing a bigger role in global semiconductor manufacturing. The world, he says, is looking for a decentralization of semiconductor production beyond Taiwan, the geopolitical flashpoint in China's backyard where most high-end chips are currently manufactured. The UAE is working with the U.S. to expand the bottleneck that is going to be a win-win situation for everyone because it ensures stability. It ensures economic cohesion between the UAE and the United States, he says. But Al-Ulama is most animated while discussing not hardware but software. Falcon was released under the open source license, and in February, the ATRC committed $300 million towards the Falcon Foundation, a nonprofit body, to oversee the continued open source development of the LLM series. The UAE's commitment to open sourcing AI has been a diplomatic success, winning it friends in global South countries that would otherwise be shut out of costly AI development. Part of the motivation is obviously finding a niche for the UAE and its national competitiveness, says Gill. But the UAE is interested in helping other countries access compute, access these open source models, so that they can develop AI applications in their own contexts. A big part of thinking behind the UAE's open source commitment, according to Al-Ulama, is to attract top AI researchers away from lucrative jobs at Silicon Valley tech companies by giving them a sense of purpose. If you bring a person who's a top scientist in this field and you tell him you have two options, either work for profit, closed source, and just benefit yourself, or work on something that's open source that will really change the lives of people, what would you decide? Al-Ulama says. We realize the attraction of talent is much better when people actually believe this is for the greater good. The number of AI workers in the UAE quadrupled to 120,000 between 2021 to 2023, and that's according to Al-Ulama telling Bloomberg. It is a place made out of heaven for researchers in AI, says Al-Banai, the head of the Abu Dhabi government's ATRC. You have the compute, you have the access to data, and you have the commitment to fund the research that you're doing. There aren't many places that have all of this under one roof. But the UAE also faces challenges when attracting top researchers. For all its low taxes, sunshine, and glamour, civil liberties and internet freedoms in the United Arab Emirates are subject to significant restrictions, according to Freedom House, which rates the country as not free. LGBTQ+ activity is criminalized, and labor abuses amongst the migrant workers brought in to support the UAE's service and construction industries are well documented. The country is not listed among the top six where most elite AI researchers work, according to an analysis by researchers at the Paulson Institute think tank. Of the 14 authors named on the Falcon research paper, 8 have LinkedIn profiles, indicating that they are not based in the United Arab Emirates. Are they going to be able to attract talent to move to the UAE, who can make $1 million+ anywhere? And that's according to Dylan Patel, chief analyst at SemiAnalysis, an AI industry monitor. He says, I'm skeptical. Still, officials in Abu Dhabi, the capital, remain bullish. Al-Banai says Falcon's successors will be even more powerful, and not only because the government is willing to commit more money and computing power to the effort. We have a third asset, which we have not yet utilized, he says. He's referring to private data that is not normally available on the internet, such as records held by hospitals and state-backed industries. Try to go to some countries and get access to train with this data, says Al-Banai. Okay, good luck. The UAE, he says, has permitted AI companies to train models on citizens' medical data, stripped of the names and identifying information. Similar efforts in countries like Britain have run into legal challenges and opposition in the press, just the kind of obstacles that, in the United Arab Emirates, are easier to brush aside. You can either debate forever or you can move, says Al-Banai. We've decided to move. Last summer, OpenAI CEO Altman traveled to the UAE as part of a global tour capitalizing on the success of ChatGPT. I'm hopeful that the region can play a central role in this global conversation, he told the crowd, praising the attendees who said he had been discussing AI since before it was cool. 4 months later, the UAE's top firm, G42, announced a partnership with OpenAI. The companies would collaborate to deliver cutting-edge AI solutions to the UAE and regional markets. A post on G42's website said, without disclosing specifics. At the top of the page, the post was illustrated with a photograph of a smiling Altman shaking hands with G42's CEO, Peng Zhao, apparently taken during Altman's trip to the Gulf earlier that summer. It was another illustrious partnership for the state-linked Emirati firm, which in 2023 signed a $100 million deal with the California company Cerebras to build what it calls the world's largest supercomputer for AI training. Shortly after G42 announced its partnership with OpenAI, geopolitical tensions burst into the open. In November, the New York Times published a report detailing concerns within the U.S. intelligence agencies about G42's ties to China. National security officials, the report said, were concerned that advanced American technologies and sensitive data of U.S. citizens could make their way to China via G42, which had relationships with Chinese companies, including Huawei. In a high-level meeting at the White House just days before Altman's trip to Abu Dhabi, the Biden administration had pushed the UAE to sever its links to Beijing, according to the New York Times. 2 months later, it tightened rules on chip exports to an undisclosed list of Middle Eastern countries amid concerns over the chips ultimately reaching China. G42's agreement with OpenAI may have been less than it appeared. The Emirati firm had simply signed up to become one of OpenAI's many enterprise clients, according to a person with knowledge of this matter. The agreement granted G42 access to OpenAI's application programming interface, a tool that allows companies to integrate ChatGPT and GPT-4's capabilities into their own apps. G42 is not an investor in OpenAI and is bound by OpenAI's usage policies, the person added. An OpenAI spokesperson declined comment on the record. Still, it was an example of the kind of relationships with foreign tech firms that the UAE government has long encouraged its domestic companies to enter into. And that's according to Alexis Safradi, director of geotechnology at the political risk consultancy Eurasia Group. The idea there is to expand links into the global value chain and enable as much technology transfer as possible. In the months that followed the White House meeting, G42 began cutting its ties to China. The company said it was phasing out Huawei gear and has sold its roughly $100 million stake in ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese parent company. "We cannot work with both sides," Peng told the FT. G42 did not respond to requests for comment. Today, Emirati officials are keen to stress their closeness to Washington. "The UAE has a strategic partner to the United States since our founding. We've gone through a lot," says Al-Olama. According to Safradi, the UAE moved quickly to distance its tech industry from China's because officials considered it crucial to retain access to the high-end semiconductors subject to American sanctions. "Even if the UAE is uncomfortable removing themselves from Chinese hardware, ultimately they want to ensure access to U.S. chips." When it comes to building new semiconductor factories, Altman has not denied that he's seeking funds for a new chip-making venture. But he has urged skepticism of the $7 trillion price tag reported by the journal. "You shouldn't believe everything you read in the press," Altman said at an event on February 21st. "The kernel of truth is that we do think investing a lot of money in AI compute, energy, and data centers is going to be important to deliver the amount of services that the people want. The question is where the investment will happen. Taiwan, which dominates chip production now, is a democracy that's vulnerable to China militarily. Gulf kingdoms share Chinese autocratic model for governance, but historically fall in line with Washington on security. If they're able to diversify the existing supply chain, make it more resilient, that could certainly benefit the United States, says Safradi. On the other hand, it depends on which foreign government Altman and his partners ultimately partner with, and that could very well conflict with the United States' national security strategy. In the end, the U.S. government may have effective veto power over the UAE's ambitions. Semiconductors are at the core of the Biden administration's CHIPS and Science Act, which includes billions in the incentives for the onshoring of semiconductor manufacturing to the United States itself. Altman has reportedly met with U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo to seek her blessing for his project to create an NVIDIA competitor, and has reportedly said he would not proceed without U.S. government approval. The Commerce Department declined to comment on this. Even if the UAE does stump up the money for new semiconductor factories, those factories may end up being located on U.S. soil. Back in the government-funded R&D lab, Al-Olama projects an air of confidence about the UAE's future role in the AI landscape. "We always gravitate towards ambition as a country," he says with a smile. "We are very ambitious people." Now let's head over to the brief, "The Politics of TikTok," by Eric Cordalesa. How the Chinese platform popularity and self-interest took Trump from ban to embrace. As Congress considers legislation that could lead to a TikTok ban, the popular platform has an unlikely ally, Donald Trump. The former president has recently rallied against a bill that would remove TikTok from U.S. app stores unless its Beijing-based parent company, ByteDance, sells its stake. To many, the move comes out of left field. As president, Trump signed an executive order to ban TikTok unless an American company acquired it, alleging the Chinese government was using the video sharing service to surveil millions of Americans. Challenged in federal court, the order never went into effect. But now, Trump sees some utility in helping to keep TikTok around, especially after President Joe Biden said he would sign the new congressional bill into law. "Frankly, there's a lot of people on TikTok that love it," Trump told CNBC. "There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it." Trump's flip-flop has sparked allegations that he's doing the bidding of a powerful donor with a stake in ByteDance. But part of his calculus, sources familiar with Trump's thinking told Time magazine, is the opportunity to make gains with younger voters by protecting a platform that they love. He realizes that a lot of people would be upset if they were banned, says a Trump operative working on the re-election effort. Now Trump and Biden are on opposite sides of an issue where younger voters are clearly in favor of not banning TikTok. Trump has other reasons for the reversal. He recently struck a rapprochement with the anti-tax group Club for Growth after it admitted defeat in an expensive effort to keep Trump from winning the nomination. "We're back in love," Trump told a gathering of its donors, per Politico, soon after meeting with one of the benefactors, billionaire Jeff Yass. The group opposes the TikTok bill, mirroring the position of Yass, whose investment company owns 15% of ByteDance. To boost the effort, Club for Growth hired Trump loyalist Kellyanne Conway to advocate for TikTok on the Hill. Trump also fears the legislation would strengthen one of its nemesis, Meta, who owns Facebook and Instagram. Trump resents the company's founder, Mark Zuckerberg, for donating $400 million in 2020 to help governments facilitate mail voting, a system Trump baselessly maligns as rife with fraud. Trump and his allies further accuse the company of suppressing conservative content and news stories damaging to the Democrats. Zuckerberg's censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story helped the Democrats dramatically in 2020, says Alex Bruschwitz, a Trump ally and GOP consultant. Zuckerberg has said Facebook never kept users from posting about the story, but limited how much the story was amplified. Despite Trump's opposition, the TikTok bill sailed through the House on March 13th on a bipartisan 352-65 vote. But it faces an uphill climb in the Senate, even as White House pushes for its passage. The D.C. TikTok debate is primarily focused on national security. Chinese law obligates Chinese companies to cooperate on intelligence. In 2020, Washington forced a Chinese company to sell the dating app Grindr after reports it supplied users' private data to Beijing. There are similar fears that TikTok could also be a tool for spying or for propaganda. A third of U.S. adults under 30 regularly scroll TikTok for news, according to a Pew survey. Several polls show it is Gen Z's top source for news and information. Security was Trump's stated concern about the platform while president, but it's become popular amongst his supporters. The Nelk Boys, whose podcast Trump has appeared on twice, have 4.6 million followers on the app. Tucker Carlson has 1.3 million. The right-wing account American Wire News amassed more than 6.5 million views from a recent clip of Trump bringing on stage a supporter who had kicked out a heckler at one of his rallies. Like other social media, TikTok could also mobilize the MAGA faithful. It has an extremely personalized algorithm, says Ashley Johnson, a policy analyst for the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation in Washington. It can amplify these filter bubbles we create for ourselves in terms of primarily or even only seeing political content that we agree with. An analysis by Tufts researchers found young voters favored Biden over Trump in 2020 by a 25-point margin. But recent polls show that the gap is shrinking. An Axios Generation Lab survey of voters under 35 in February found Biden leading by just 4 percentage points. Campaign operatives think TikTok may be crucial to reaching those voters. The app, which grew by 12% from 2021 to 2023, is now used by more than 170 million Americans. That growth, members of Trump's inner circle say, helps explain why he is now defending it. TikTok is more relevant now than when the executive order was written, says the Trump operative. Some Trump allies expect him to turn it into a campaign wedge issue. This is Biden's band now, says Brusewitz, and tens of millions of young voters know it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I've been reading from Time Magazine, the April 8th, 2024 edition of Time Magazine. I'm Steve Sacco. So long until next time.